Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for another deep dive? Today we're looking into Seacoast Anti-Pollution League v. COSL.
Ooh, that's a great one. It's really all about, well, you could say it's about hot water.
Hot water.
Yeah, hot water, power plants, and ultimately it's about how much, say, citizens really have when it comes to decisions that impact the environment.
I am definitely intrigued. So to set the scene, we're in the 1970s.
Right, 70s.
Environmentalism is gaining momentum, and we've got the Public Service Company of New Hampshire, or PSCO, wanting to build a nuclear power plant.
Pretty typical, right?
Seems like it so far.
Here's the twist. Their plan involved dumping heated water from their cooling system, you know, right into the Hampton Seabrook estuary.
And I gotta ask, is hot water, like, actually considered pollution?
You would think it wouldn't be, but it is. The Federal Water Pollution Control Act, which, you know, now we all know as the Clean Water Act.
Yeah, right.
Even back then said even a tiny temperature change, just a few degrees, can really mess things up for marine life. So PSCO, they needed a permit for all that hot water discharge.
Okay, makes sense. So they apply for the permit, and that's when things get a little dicey.
Well, they did apply, yeah. But they also applied for an exemption from the usual standards. They claimed the impact was going to be minimal, but the Seacoast Anti-Pollution League and the Audubon Society, they weren't buying it.
Yeah, I could see why they'd be skeptical.
They wanted a full public hearing, the whole nine yards. They wanted to make sure the EPA wasn't, you know, cutting corners.
So we have a classic David and Goliath situation brewing here. Big company versus the other guys fighting for the environment. So what happened next?
Well, things got, well, a little messy. You've got administrative law judge hearings. The EPA regional administrator steps in and denies the permit. But then, get this, the EPA administrator himself, COSL, overturns it all and sides with PSCO.
Wow, talk about a twist. So where does that leave Seacoast? They must have been pretty frustrated.
Absolutely. And that's where the Administrative Procedure Act, or APA, comes in.
Okay, now we're getting to the legal nitty-gritty.
Exactly. Think of the APA as the rule book for agencies. You know, it's all about fairness and transparency.
Right. Makes sense.
Now, the APA, it mandates these on-the-record hearings for certain decisions.
Hold on. What exactly does on-the-record mean? I'm not a lawyer.
Oh, good question. It basically means everything documented can be reviewed later, you know, creates a clear trail of how they made the decision.
Gotcha.
But here's the thing. The law PSCA was dealing with, what FWPCA, it didn't explicitly use those exact words on the record.
So we have a situation where the law kind of implies this need for a thorough hearing process, but doesn't come right out and demand it.
Exactly. And you can see how that might cause some problems.
Yeah. Sounds like a recipe for a legal showdown.
That's exactly what happened. You see, PSCO, they want this power plant built yesterday. Efficiency is their thing. But Seacoast, they want to make absolutely sure the EPA is doing everything by the book, you know, protecting the environment.
I can see both sides of it, but this vagueness in the law is just adding fuel to the fire. Did this whole on-the-record issue make it to court?
You bet it did. And this is where things get even more interesting. Remember, COSL, the EPA bigwig, he sided with PSCO.
Right, right.
But to do that, he used this internal technical panel, and he even took new evidence from PSCO after the public hearings were over.
Wait a minute. New evidence after the hearings were done? That doesn't seem fair at all. I mean, imagine you're Seacoast, you present your case, and boom, new stuff comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, definitely not ideal. So how did the court react to that?
That's what I want to know.
They weren't happy about it, let me tell you that. They basically said, look, if a law requires a hearing and there's a chance of an appeal, then those on the record rules, they got to apply, whether the law says it directly or not.
Okay, so no loopholes or technicalities here. I like it. Did they also address COSL taking that new evidence?
Oh, yeah, they did. And they made it clear that COSL messed up big time by relying on this secret panel and not letting Seacoast, you know, challenge the new stuff. The court's message was loud and clear. Even if you've got experts backing you up, you can't just ignore basic fairness.
I mean, that's a pretty strong statement about transparency, even for government agencies.
Absolutely. There's this quote from the court's decision. The decision ultimately reached is no less the administrator's simply because agency experts helped him to reach it.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. Basically saying that even with experts, you still got to play by the rules. So what happened then? Did PSCO get their permit after all that?
Not quite. The court sent the case back to the EPA with a big to-do list. They basically said, go back and do this right. The EPA had to reevaluate everything PSCO submitted, but this time, by the book, following the APA.
So this was a win for transparency. Seems like the court was saying that groups like Seacoast have the right to hold the EPA's feet to the fire.
You got it. This case forced agencies to treat these permit applications much more formally. The public get a bigger voice, and agencies are held accountable for what they do. It's not just about PSCO and Seacoast anymore. It set a precedent for how these cases would be handled going forward.
This is fascinating stuff, but I gotta add, Does this make protecting the environment stronger or just way more complicated?
That's a really good question, and one we'll dive into in the next part of our deep dive. We'll look at the lasting impact of this case and see how it still shapes environmental law today, so stay with us. Welcome back. As we were talking about, Seacoast v. Cosel really shook things up when it comes to environmental rules and, well, how agencies have to operate.
Like, suddenly the EPA can't just do things behind closed doors anymore, right? All this transparency.
Yeah, you could say that. The on-the-record thing became much more important because of this case, even when a law doesn't come right out and say it.
But doesn't that mean way more work for these agencies? I mean, more paperwork, more hearings, more chances to get sued. Doesn't it slow everything way down?
That's definitely a valid point, for sure. Some people argue that all this extra stuff can make things way more complicated and take way more time, and it costs more, too.
So it's like a trade-off, right? More transparency, you know, and accountability, but things might take longer?
Exactly. It's about finding that balance, you know? But the court, I think they really wanted to make sure the public has a say and that everything is done fairly.
Yeah, especially when we're talking about, like, the environment, these decisions are important, people should be involved.
Absolutely. And this case, it basically gives people more power to hold agencies accountable. Like, if an agency tries to do something sneaky, they can get called out on it.
Okay, so that makes sense. But did this case, did it actually change how things work for environmental stuff?
Oh, definitely. Seacoast v. Cosel is like a huge deal in environmental law now. Groups like Seacoast, they have more ammo to challenge agencies if they think things aren't on the up and up.
So it's not just about hot water and power plants anymore. It's a blueprint for how these things go down.
That's a great way to put it. It's like agencies, they can't just rely on their own little group of experts anymore. They got to listen to the public, consider everything, and be able to justify their choices.
Sounds like a win for the average person, right? Like, if you want to make sure your voice is heard.
Definitely. But there's that argument that all this red tape, you know, all the rules, it makes it harder to actually get things done, to protect the environment.
It's kind of a mixed bag.
That's one way to look at it, but I don't think the answer is to, like, get rid of all the safeguards, you know? It's more about finding that sweet spot, doing things efficiently, but not sacrificing fairness and transparency.
Makes sense. Sounds like we need to protect the environment, but also make sure the system works, that it's fair.
Exactly. That's the conversation we're still having today. Seacoast v. Cosel, it set the stage, but the question now is, well, how do we apply those ideas in a way that works?
Right, right. It's complex for sure. Sounds like this case, it really opened a can of worms, legally speaking. But overall, I mean, it seems like a good thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. All these extra procedures, they can be a pain, but the big ideas, transparency, and public participation, those are really important.
Makes you think about the people behind all this. Like, what were they thinking, both PSCO and the Seacoast Group?
That's an interesting point. Like, what motivated them, right? It was a clash of, well, I guess you could say values.
What do you mean?
Well, you have PSCO. They want to provide power, energy. You know, they're all about growth and technology. To them, the power plant, it was a solution.
And Seacoast.
They were worried about what might happen to the environment, you know, to the estuary. They wanted to protect it, make sure things didn't get ruined.
So like progress versus preservation.
Yeah, something like that. And then you've got the EPA trying to make sure everything is done right by the book while trying to balance these totally different goals.
Makes you realize this wasn't just, you know, lawyers arguing. These were real people who really cared.
For sure. That's what makes environmental law so, well, I guess human. It's about how we relate to nature and the choices we make.
I like that. Well, it looks like we're at the end of this part of our deep dive, but there's still more to talk about.
We've gone through all the legal details of Seacoast v. Cosel, but what does it mean for people today? How does it affect you?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
In the last part, we'll talk about the lasting impact of this case, what it means for everyday people like you. We'll see how you can use what we've learned to get involved and make a difference. Stay tuned.
All right, welcome back to the deep dive. We've been spending some time with Seacoast Anti-Pollution League v. Cosel, and wow, there's a lot to unpack.
It's definitely a landmark case and one that really has an impact on how we all interact with our government, especially when it comes to environmental decisions.
So let's say I'm, you know, just a regular person and I'm worried about something happening in my community. Like, maybe they want to build a factory right next to a lake I love.
Okay, I see. So how would Seacoast help you in that situation?
Yeah, like, what can I actually do?
Well, Seacoast gives you a lot of tools, actually. For one, it really stresses transparency. Like, agencies can't just operate in secret anymore.
Right.
You have the right to know what they're basing their decisions on, you know, what kind of science, how they're coming to their conclusions.
So I can, like, ask to see reports, those kinds of things. Even question the, like, the background of the experts they're using.
Exactly. You also have the right to participate. You can submit comments, go to public hearings, make sure your concerns are heard.
So it's not just about, like, showing up and yelling. It's about, like, knowing how to use the law to your advantage.
Got it. And the other big thing Cikos highlights is due process. You have a right to challenge new evidence, ask questions of witnesses, demand a fair hearing, you know. It's all about making sure decisions aren't made just randomly or behind closed doors.
Wow, it sounds like Cikos gave people a lot more power than they had before.
That's a good way to think about it. I mean, it doesn't guarantee you'll win, but it gives you the legal means to fight for what you believe in, you know? Especially when it comes to protecting the environment and holding those in power accountable.
So if our listeners take away one thing from this whole discussion about Cikos, what should it be?
I'd say the biggest takeaway is that you have a voice. You know, you're not powerless against the government or big corporations. You have rights.
That's pretty powerful stuff. But this focus on, like, the process, doesn't it sometimes get in the way of actually protecting the environment?
That's a valid question. Some folks argue that, yeah, all these procedures, they can cause delays, legal battles, and that can actually hurt progress. Like, a company could drag things out in court forever, and the environment suffers in the meantime.
So kind of like a catch-22.
Yeah, in a way, but I don't think the answer is to get rid of all the safeguards, all the rule. It's more about being smart about it, you know? Streamline things where we can, but never abandon those core principles of fairness and transparency.
Sounds like Cikos was an important step, but we still have a lot to figure out in terms of balancing, protecting the environment, and making sure things actually get done.
Exactly. And that's where everyone comes in. We all have a responsibility to stay informed, you know, hold our leaders accountable, push for policies that make sense.
So the legacy of Cikos, it's kind of a call to action, right? For all of us to get involved and, like, know our stuff.
That's a great way to put it. Protecting the environment, it's not just the job of the government or, you know, environmental groups. It's something we all need to care about.
Well said. Well, folks, I think that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Cikos Anti-Pollution League v. COSL. We hope you learned something new today, and most importantly, that you feel empowered to make your voice heard. We all have a role to play in protecting our planet. So until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.